Hank Mobley and a group of incredible sidemen, the list is long, with the title track of his 1966 album. It's his own composition, titled A Slice of the Top. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead, and here we are. Now, first off, I need to let you know a couple of things. Tomorrow, being the 4th of July, we'll be running a repeat program, but we come back to our special Friday program, and that is Free Your Mind Friday. We come back to that live on Friday. So we'll take one day off tomorrow, and then come back fresh and invigorated on Friday to hear what you have to say. And, you know, I wanted to talk about that today, too. What have you to say? How is this election shaping up in your view? What do you make of it? To me, it is interesting, but it's like a blob. It doesn't seem to have a shape yet. And what shape it has, it's not all that comforting. Not to me. Maybe to other people, you know, it's just the way politics works. But I think in 2019, we should draw the line somewhere and say, you know, we deserve better. We deserve better than what we've been getting. And, but that puts some responsibility on us. And I don't know that we are ready to assume it. It's very disappointing. We talk, and we make good points when we talk. We are astute observers of the political scene as it unfolds and all of that. But it doesn't seem to be translating to political reality. That there's a change coming, and the people are the ones taking on the responsibility of creating that change. I still see that the political leadership, both on the Republican and Democratic sides, have the same attitude. We're in charge. You can't tell us what to do. We'll tell you what we are going to do, and we'll also tell you what we want you to do. So that's where we are. And it seems to me we should have been a bit more advanced by now in our political agendas, because so much is riding on them, and we're going along to get along still. It's infuriating to me. The choices are so stark, and I can't imagine what is accounting for the lack of critical mass by now of a popular movement of some sort, where you can see that people are coming together based on the analysis, their own analysis, and of where we are and what it is we have to accomplish. We seem to be going along with the same old tired formula of, well, somewhere, somehow, a leader will emerge, and we'll go with that. I feel reticent about our ability in this particular election cycle to get to where we should be by now. Because we're talking, not doing. We're not planning. And we're not taking our own power seriously. For example, this is just an idea. You would think that with all the political tumult that we've been experiencing, that we would have a plethora of political choices. The fact that people are coming together, not as Democrats, but they're coming together as people who see the need for a different approach. The Democrats, we're willing to forgive in this time because it's so scary. We need something and we don't have something. But I'm wondering, why haven't we had coming together, for example, of other parties and helping to provide alternatives to what we have now? We're still back in the old Democrat and Republican conundrum. You're either this or you're that. But it would be great. It would be very reassuring to see emerging out of this craziness that we're in a new way, a sort of new way, because it's been tried before, been talked about before. People coming from different political histories and forging a common a bond. Is that even, do we dare hope that that could happen? Is it too late? We're not seeing a noted, a profound third party presence. We're not seeing coalition building. It's been decided, it seems, that there will be political types from one of two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. Is that it? I mean, there's no more. There's nothing else happening. Is it too late to look into building coalitions that can sustain candidacies? Well, the latest news, of course, is that Kamala Harris has effectively slid into the top tier of the Democratic Party. Joe Biden has slipped down a bit. He has some rebuilding to do. But we also see that Elizabeth Warren is moving up on the ladder according to the recent polls. So things are still building and still being fleshed out, but we can't rest there. We have to be aggressive if we take our interests seriously. And I don't get the sense that we're serious. We're just going along, tra-la-la, and we'll see what happens. And we know how these things turn out. We will get a Democratic candidate and then we'll get a Republican candidate, and the two will duke it out. We have no fallback position. We don't seem to have a fallback position. So I'm wondering what you think about that. Why don't we have a fallback position? And why aren't we acting as if we understand ourselves to be in crisis? We still play the old formula, which means we'll get the old response, the standard response, which is we're aiding and abetting a showdown between Democrats and Republicans. So far, according to the landscape, third parties have no business in this whole thing. They're not even being considered. Forget the idea of coalition building. That's gone by the wayside. So it seems as if the decision is that it's going to be between Democrats and Republicans. Am I reading this thing wrong? Let me know. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Why aren't we, this comes down to this, why are we, the people, not changing the political formula? Why have we become so complacent and lazy and not at all interested in forging a new path? Alex from New Jersey, we start with you. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Well, this whole system in humanity is called the ostrich syndrome. You know what that is, Patrice?
The ostrich syndrome?
Yes.
Well, I imagine you bury your head in the sand. That's a reference to it?
Correct. Here's what's going on with people. In reality, people are trying to survive, working two or three jobs. Everything keeps going up, no control. Doesn't matter if you vote. Nothing goes nowhere. So it's basically the ostrich syndrome. So basically, people stick their heads in the ground, and hopefully things will get better around them. But the problem is that when they stick their heads in the ground, they stuck their heads in the ground in the middle of a railroad track. All right? So now what's happening is that if you stick your head in the middle of a railroad track, in between the grooves of a train, in the distance you'll hear maybe you'll feel some vibration, some rumbling, correct? You will feel that vibration. After a while, that vibration will get louder and louder, and that's what's going on now. It gets louder and louder and louder until maybe in the distance you'll hear the train horn. But people will still keep their heads in the ground. Now, of course, the train will come, the vibration, the rumbling, and the horn gets louder and louder and louder until, guess what? Until people get hit by the train, the ostrich. Now, that's what people are at. Until something happens, that's when something will be done. But here comes the most incredible thing about humanity and people, is that you would think that that would be enough of an incentive to wake up and do something. But no, people turn right around after they survive getting hit by a train, seeing all the signs. They go right back, and they go barely surviving, and they survive and heal and stuff, and they go back and stick their heads back into the ground again. This is a state of humanity. So when we start realizing those realities, only certain people will wake up to that and understand what just happened, what was the consequences of it, and try to prepare and do something about it. But sadly, humanity, no. Most people will go right back and stick their heads back in two or three or five times until they get killed. So this is where we're standing in the fate of humanity. All right.
Is this That's your view of what is happening now in this current election? That people have their heads in the sand and they basically are opting out of what we would consider at least a duty to take a look at how you are functioning as a political person. In a year where the election is so, the contrast is so stark.
It's a joke. No. We have 70 years of the same garbage and getting worse. So you can say that we had that many times getting hit by trains. So this will be no different than the next election in 2024. That's just the reality. people, got hit so many times by the train. Doesn't matter. They go right back, stick their heads, because this has been going on for always and always. So again, sadly, that's the state of humanity, right? The ostrich syndrome. Some people will wake up from it, but most people won't, and it's the masses. And this is what gets me sickening and disgusted and beyond reality. We can't even get 10 people to go do a protest. But God forbid if there's a championship. Go look on your internet. Go look on YouTube and stuff. Go look at, oh, my God, the Giants won. Oh, my God, the Royals won. You get 500, a million people going to celebrate. All right? There's the other reality of humanity. They go out, you know, and celebrate the by hundreds of thousands of them to celebrate a sport. All right? So, again, I don't have much hope until God knows what's going to happen. And I said a long time ago that, you know, this whole thing about governments, like, there's one government now, one global government. And I said that to you in the past, last year or so. And that's really what's going on, right?
Now, for yourself, I want to get a little personal here. How are you affected by this? You have an analysis. It is, to me, very relevant. It is right on point.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you park all of this? And how do you, in fact, do something with this revelation that you have come to, and you it's depressing. It's
no.
It is depressing. But, you know, I'm thinking that we would think differently, but that's fine. Your views are fine. But where do you put this as you go about your business every day?
My faith in God, or whatever you want to consider, energy, or, you know, love. I mean, this is just a trial and tribulation. That's all it is. And we have to learn to center ourselves and be at peace ourselves, within ourselves. That's all that matters. Life is going to do what it's going to do. The key to it, life is literally is a tornado. And life, everything a tornado, if you're inside a tornado, everything inside a tornado is being ripped apart outside. So people's key would be to be centered. Because if you look up on the top of a tornado, you see the blue sky. So that's really the key, centering yourself and being at peace within yourself and knowing that everything around you is being destroyed by a tornado. But the beauty of it is that a tornado doesn't last forever. It gives it its time, and it fades out. So all this hell that we're going through and stuff, it's just a matter of time. And the keys will be that humanity has something spiritually that awakens people. And it's like a wave or something, and people say that's enough. And people will wake up, and it's a spiritual thing. And it will wake up, and then much no different than the Berlin Wall. Out of nowhere, people just said, no more. It got shut down. The same thing with Russia. Out of nowhere, got shut down. The same thing is probably going to happen to Saudi Arabia and all this stuff. There's going to be waves of things happening. And it's more on a spiritual level. And that's why people have to say, okay, you know, let me just be centered, focus on myself, focus on my health, focus on my family, focus on my being, you know, in center, in peace with everything, which it is. And as far as I'm concerned, everything is perfect. Everything has its reasons. Yes, and we might not like it, but then again, that's just a learning process. So that's where I'm at with all this, Richie.
Thank you very much, Alex, for getting us started today on an existential note. But it brings with it some very profound messages for our consideration. Thank you so much. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Utrice. How are you doing?
Okay. Now, what's going on? Tell us what we are to make of all of this going on here and what is more importantly, what is not happening?
I got to disagree with Alex. I mean, people don't look at history. Russia just didn't happen out of a vacuum. The Berlin Wall didn't happen out of a vacuum. There were movements. There were movements of people, and it wasn't in the media. It wasn't in the press. It didn't come out until it reached that apex point. But there's always a movement. There's always a drive within the general society that pushes towards righteousness. I agree with Martin Luther King. The moral arc of the universe is bent, but it does bend towards righteousness. It does bend towards justice. And that movement has to be kept within the populace. What's wrong with America, my personal opinion, America is sick. And it's been made sick by design. There are a few people, this has never been a democracy. It's always been an oligarchy. And there are a few people with a lot of money, and the way this system is set up, they can use that money, they can use that capital, that influence to push public opinion. From as minuscule a thing as cell phones that can tell you the day and the time and make pancakes, to all of the minor distractions that take away from education, that take away from enlightenment. This guy, Trump, couldn't have been president 20, 30 years ago because people weren't that stupid. But the small minority of wealthy people have an objective to keep you dumb. And once you're dumb, you become centered on yourself, and you don't see the benefit of helping your fellow man. You don't see the benefit of community. You don't see the benefit of fraternity that leads to liberty. And that's what's happening. This country's sick. And it's got to be made well. And there are little pockets of things going on around in the country, the Black Lives Movement, the reparations movement. There just hasn't been that mass consensus to make that connection. But there are things going on, and they're not getting reported in the media, especially now when the media is controlled by such a small segment of the population. So, you know, I mean, nothing happens in a vacuum. We might not be able to see when this is going to change. Because we don't know what it'll look like. Because the people that saw the changes in the 60s and the 70s, the people that saw the changes during the Great Depression, didn't know what it was going to look like until it started to happen. You know, I mean, it's just, but believe me, there's something going on. Look at what's happening in China. Look at what's happening in Europe. People are getting aware and they're realizing that the few should not control the many. And when that concept, when that idea gets revitalized in America, then we'll see that rise again. And it's coming. It might not be in my lifetime. I don't know. But it's coming. And as being a steward of morality, the only thing that I can do personally is to permeate that, is to teach it, is to try to organize and get around people of like minds and try to keep the idea alive until it takes flight. Because any movement needs youth. It needs vigor. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm not as young as I used to be. But there are young people out there that are going to carry the flame. They're going to carry the flame. I don't believe that. You know, I know this country is sick, and I know it's due to a plan by design, a lack of education, a lack of understanding of what politics truly is, what the nature of community is. But it was a process. It took time for people to get this way, and it's going to take time for people to change. But you got to be consistent. And you got to be persistent. And all of this locking into self and looking for the clear skies, that's crap. You've got to, community is what matters. The people is what matter. If the community rises, then you will rise. The idea of individualism is a fallacy put forth by this government, by the people, by the powers that be in this country. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. There isn't one corporation in this country, for example, that didn't get government subsidies to rise, from the railroads to the gas companies to the IT companies us today. Everything is done at a collective basis. And when we realize that the real power lies with the people, and it's not a cliche, it's the truth. When people start to realize that, then they'll see what's going on and they'll be able to rectify the situation. They'll be able to destroy the system and we might get something better out of it.
In the context of what you're saying today, where does that leave the people who Alex described as being afflicted with the ostrich syndrome?
I don't.
Why are we not building? Why are we not why do we seem to be fragmented precisely at a time that we have all the signals that we need to go another way? We need to come together and form some kind of a working relationship, irrespective of political views. Well, and we ought to forge a path somewhere. But it's not working that way. At least I don't see it working.
It's happening on a smaller scale. I mean, it's not, like I said, the media is not going to tell you where these movements are coming from. And there's a lack of education. People truly don't understand what politics is about. People don't understand what the idea of community is about and how a community can affect the political situation. And there's got what's going on now, especially with people I deal with, is a re-education. You can't fight something if you can't. The first step in knowing and avoiding a trap is knowing that a trap is there. People don't understand the trap. People don't understand what politics is for. People don't understand that politics is the allocation of resources. People don't understand that you have a common interest in keeping a community held whole and keeping yourself and keeping people healthy and keeping and not just maintaining the status quo. People want to maintain the status quo. And I believe that was by design by the people that control the wealth in this country. Keep you concentrated on the short term and not be prepared to make the sacrifice for the long term. That's the problem. People concentrate on the short term. And sometimes you gotta take one for the team. That's just it. I mean, sometimes you gotta take a hard one for the team so we can progress. And people don't believe that anymore. People are caught up in the get the bag culture. I'm gonna get mine, I'm gonna take care of me, you know, forget about you. That's why this idiot is in charge. That's his whole agenda. That's his whole modus of operandi. That's why he's trying to get with Kim Jong-il. Because he sees the future. He sees the Pacific Rim coming. He sees that China, Japan, North Korea, South Korea, eventually they're going to put all their differences aside. China's got the road policy that's going to make ports of trade and connections between the Pacific Rim countries. And once that happens in the next 10 or 20 years, even if he isn't president, his self-absorbed of self-serving means is to be in good. So even if I don't make the selection, at least I'll have business deals with these guys because I was good to them when I was there. That's all. Everybody is the self, the idea of self, the idea of taking care of the self. To be a human, you've got to be altruistic. You've got to understand that I am my brother's keeper, and people don't get that concept no more. It's cliched. But that's what makes things happen. When you realize that, hey, I'm my brother's keeper. If you're doing bad, I'm doing bad. But it's hard to get people to understand that.
How do you see the election, the outcome of the election, based on the theories and the thinking that you have just shared with us?
As it stands now, I honestly mm-hmm. believe that this man's going to have another 4 years. Because I don't think that we're at that point to where what I'm talking about is going to take is a time-consuming process. It's going to take a lot of time. And, you know, it might be too late. Who knows? You know, like I said, there have been species on this planet that have lasted for thousands of years, eons, and they're not here anymore. Man has no signature state on being the prime species on this planet. You know, if you're going to allow yourself to be destroyed by your own stupidity and apathy, I believe America's going down. I don't know if the rest of the world is going to follow, but definitely America's going down. Empires fall.
Do you think some kind of a coalition effort, even at this late stage, is worth trying?
Well, it's always worth trying because you got to think for the future. I mean, even if it's not successful, at least a movement will exist that might be able to permeate something in the distance. At least there'll be some type of reasonable opposition. But the main problem is all of the people around this individual that we call a president are corrupt. And you can't call out somebody for corruption when you yourself are corrupt. You understand what I'm saying? If I'm doing dirt and I see you're doing dirt, I can't sit up there and really call you out and take you to task for your dirt because I got to check myself. And that's what's happening. All these people around them have been doing dirt for so long, it's become the modus of operandi. And what's pissing everybody off about this guy is he's just doing it out in the open. But he's just doing what they've all been doing, what Papa Bush did, what Reagan did. Well, you got to look at the whole thing in compass. How did we get here? Nothing, like I said, nothing happens in a vacuum. The only vacuum exists is space, and that's not even a true vacuum. Everything leads to another thing, and we're in this situation because of the policies of Reagan, because of the policies of Bush, because of the policies of Obama, because of what we allowed the government to do for so long. Now we have the epicenter of corruption in President 45.
Well, you gave us quite a lecture today, and it was very insightful. And very important that people listen to it several times. You know, it's a different point of view, but it is a worthy point of view. I think we need to talk more about these ways of thinking, because when you look at it, you see how much sense it makes. It makes great sense. You don't need a poll, you don't need a census, you don't need anything to tell you these things. And they ring true. Thanks, Ed, you were going to say something.
No, and this used to be, well, I know when I was younger, I didn't get these ideas on my own. They came from people in my family. They came from people that I knew. They came from friends of the family. They came from people that I associated with. Those conversations don't take place anymore, and I don't know why. I mean, well, I do know why as far as how we've been miseducated and de-educated, but I remember going to seminars by Amos Wilson. I remember going to, you know, going down to the East. I remember all of these things. All of these things kept that alive, kept that idea in your mind, kept that idea that there is a righteousness, that there is a right and there is a wrong, that everything isn't gray. And that you shouldn't be just totally self-serving. There is such a thing as self-preservation, but then there's such a thing as just total self-serving. And that the community rises. You rise when the community rises. Those concepts, that's what needs to germinate. And that's what I try to push. But thank you for your time. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing you again at the church.
Thank you. Thanks. So do I. 888-874-4888. We'll take a short break and come back to your ideas and comments right after that. You're listening to PRN.FM. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. Just as a reminder, tomorrow we will, being the July 4th, the station is going into quasi-holiday mode. So you will hear a repeat program. And then we come back on Friday to our usual Free Your Mind Friday program. But for now, we're talking about what is it? Where are we? What is your sense of where we are as a nation? And as important is your sense of where you are within the scheme of things. Do you feel lost? Do you feel swallowed up? You feel totally sidelined? Do you feel that you belong in this process? Which we're told is one of the pillars of democracy. How are we doing here? As a person witnessing this, the way things are unfolding, Do you feel good? Do you feel safe? Do you feel that you're important in this whole process? And it couldn't have come at a better time, I think, since we're talking about Trump is setting up his own personal parade. He's so patriotic, he wants his own parade, and he's going to do whatever it is he has to do to get it. Which tells you, again, we have a lot, both Alex and Ed, that talk about the sickness in this country. Things are so distorted. People losing perspective, losing the point of what it is we are as a society supposed to do. And dare we hope that we could actually come together and agree on some basic points that we can move forward, and in so doing, we move forward. We're not seeing or hearing about coalition efforts. We're not hearing much from the so-called third parties. We're not seeing a persistence. We're seeing, in fact, people just kind of giving up with the idea or attitude that, well, it's done. The decision has been made, and there's no point to fighting. Do you feel that? Is this how you're feeling, that there's no point to fighting? That this machine is so huge, it's so overwhelming, that we cannot even envision mounting a defense against it. Did we feel this way in the last election and the election before that? Or has something happened that has caused us to believe that this is a juggernaut, whatever it is? It is so big, it is so huge, and we are so small that we dare not oppose it. It would be a waste of time to mount any kind of opposition to it. It's all lost. So if that is the case, then what are you saying? Where exactly have we come? Where have we come to in this country, in terms of your and my and other people's understanding of political power and our ability to be, in fact, the checks and balances against a renegade operation, a government that does what it wants to do, when it wants to do it, how it wants to do it, with the understanding that we are to shut up and just go along with the program and pay for it. Any thoughts about where we are? And how does it make you feel to be where we are? 888-874-4888. This, in fact, is what politics is. It comes down to the big picture having impact and meaning with each and every person. And each and every person experiences government this way. You don't have to tell people and preach to them and tell them all the great things that you want them to know. There's a visceral level at which people experience this relationship between government and the governed. And I'm making the argument that over the last few years, say the last dozen years or so, people are not experiencing government well. They're not enamored of government. Government, in fact, has taken on a very nasty and predatory attitude. And we are lost in this maze that we can't seem to get out of, not long enough or far enough to make a whole different impact. And the hope is that our ability to do that isn't lost. The hope is that we still have the ability to find our way, to keep a renegade government in check, because that's what's happening. The hope is that we can look to each other and work out some kind of practical arrangement where at least we can agree on working on things that would be of benefit to all of us, but also at the same time keeping a check on a government that is likely to do anything. This is the thing. We no longer can predict what the government will and will not do. It will do whatever it wants to do, because that's the history it has established in this short time. This is a dictatorial government. This is a government that is run by a small clique, and they do what they want to do with our money and in our name. But of course, it is to their benefit. Everything is to their benefit. What do you think? What do you feel about the situation now? What do you feel about your status as citizen? Are you feeling good about it? Do you feel that you have arrived at a point where your efforts seem so puny and useless because they've figured this out? They've figured out so many angles, ways to make us lose, ways to overcome us, which of course is the exact opposite of this notion of democracy. We don't feel comfortable that we can claim democracy, because it's not happening. We shouldn't feel this way as a nation, as a democratic nation. We feel smothered. We feel duped. We feel oppressed. We feel unable to move in a logical direction. We feel nobody's listening. And it's getting worse every day. So I wanted to know that, how you feel about these things. Because you will be called upon one way or the other very shortly to make a move. Either your own sense of justice will compel you to do that, or if enough people are showing a like-mindedness about where we are, the people are, as opposed to the government, something will happen. It would not be pretty necessarily, but something will happen. We cannot believe that this way of so-called governing would go uncontested for much longer. But then we look at the reactions that we're getting, and we say, well, that's not it either. This horse race to supplant one group of rulers with another group of rulers. And they haven't been listening either for many years. The Democratic Party has not been an organic presence in our community. The Democratic Party itself has been mirroring the standard now, which is about money. You raise money. You, you're, You're operating in spheres of influence that have money as a central part of it. And we can't say that in this sense the Democrats are way, above the Republicans, or the Republicans are way, they're the same. There's really very little difference. So the conversation we ought to be having, you and I and others, is what kind of society could we possibly claim to be building? And what role could we possibly claim that we're having in building this new society? I go over this all the time, and I try to find a distinct difference between these two major parties. And they have basically occupied our attention every time we talk about national elections. What is the difference? How does the Democratic Party assume that it has a greater affinity to the people than the Republicans, and vice versa? Do they understand what government is for? It's not about making rules to make life tougher for people in order to show, your forceful approach to governing. We're all governing. That's what we should be thinking. We are all governing. We are all governors. And our job is to exercise our controls insofar that we can exercise them in behalf of the common good. I gave a talk not too long ago about the only salvation that we have, the only thing, it seems to me, the only salvation we have, the only thing that could save us, is restoration of our communities. The whole idea of community is the best defense that we have still. Community. And it means that if you subscribe to the idea of community, you subscribe to the idea of shared responsibility for community. It's not an on and off again thing. It's a constant. And this is where we have been hit the hardest. To believe there is no community, to believe there's no chance of community, to believe that communities have already been lost. And it's true. It's very hard to see the positives when we see the overwhelming negatives that will lead us to believe there's no point to community because it doesn't exist anymore. And yet, it is a great weapon that we have, and we have to exercise our control in rebuilding, restoring, reclaiming community. This is the only thing that I think we can do to survive. Everything else is encouraging us to, go for self or join the bandwagon of people who care nothing about others. That's what's so remarkable about this administration. Nothing about it seems to register on a human level about how a government which is of the people and by the people and for the people actually relates to people. And why we should consider that a top priority of government to relate to the people. All right, I don't see any calls. At 888-874-4888. But we're heading home now. We're in the home stretch of the program. It is important for people to hear what you're saying. And that's one of the things I insist upon with this program. It's about talking out loud so people can hear what you're saying and consider what you're offering. You never know. You may think, well, I don't have that much to say. You have a great deal to say. And use the opportunity to communicate it. We're all the same. You're all struggling. We're all trying to get to where we envision we ought to get to. But we're also learning that we have deficits. Our leadership, too, has trouble. Our leadership has adopted too many of the characteristics of the overarching leadership that we're trying to, you know, put in check. Our leadership has bought into this idea of the importance of money. Our leadership has not really maintain tight contact with its communities. Our leadership, frankly, in many ways, has sold us out. And we saw that not too long ago. Our leadership is not necessarily firmly committed to the people. It's a career move, or it's about prestige. Or it is about distinguishing oneself from the pack. All these things that are negatives countervailing against a very simple idea that we should be moving in a whole different direction commensurate with concepts that we say we value. But we have some homework to do with our leadership as well. It has gone astray. Many of our leaders have gone astray. But still, we have to be hopeful, but we have to be vigilant, and we have to keep our eyes on the investments we already have made. You see, the communities have made investments. People ask us to vote, and people vote accordingly in support of what is presented to them as the better choice, as the way to go, only to find out in many cases that the leadership has been corrupted. The leadership has an entirely different idea of what progress is. The leadership has left its constituencies unprotected. The leadership has squandered the massive wealth invested in them so that they can, in Washington, tackle the issues that really matter. Our leadership isn't 100% devoted to us. And we let people get away with that. So that is our responsibility. Why do we let people get away with these things? And then we have the major question about party leadership. We are inclined now to see the problem as Donald Trump and his administration. But that's only part of the problem. How many years, for how many years, has the party leadership allowed it to happen? For how many years has the party leadership, in fact, cooperated with this anti-human government? For how many years has the party leadership placed importance on itself as opposed to what is good for the people? For how many years has the party leadership cut itself off from the people? Not going into neighborhoods, not recruiting, not talking to people, not ascertaining their needs and how they have changed and what they are to do. We have a party leadership that allowed in Flint, Michigan, children not to be able to get a drink of water during the day at school. A party leadership that cannot explain why it is that the housing crisis, just in any community of color, is catastrophic. Well, I hear the music. It means that it's time to go. And so I shall. And we'll see each other on Friday. Bye-bye.